Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. $650 million is a lot of money to ask for, but that's the amount Tepper Sports and Entertainment requested from the city a couple of weeks ago for Bank of America Stadium renovations. Last night, just a short time after the item came up on Charlotte City Council's agenda, they put that request to a vote. And that vote came after an online survey and a public hearing designed to gauge public opinion. And it came even as some council members said they felt rushed into taking action so quickly. If you haven't been listening to the radio this morning, the vote last night was 7-3 in favor. The business community was solidly behind these improvements. They and others view the stadium and the teams and events it houses as an investment in the city. Others had questioned why we would give one of the richest team owners in the NFL money that he could have easily spent himself. In exchange, the Panthers and Charlotte FC promised to stay put until 2040 or beyond, but questions remain as to the actual value of such an expenditure, and Charlotte is not alone in being asked for tax dollars to improve existing stadiums or renovate older ones. Here to take us through the $650 million ask, council's decision, and what this may or may not mean for the city's future are three reporters who have been following it closely. Steve Harrison is WFAE's political reporter. Mary Ramsey is local government accountability reporter for the Charlotte Observer. And Joe Bruno is a reporter for WSOC-TV and host of their Political Beat program on Sunday mornings. And later, we'll hear from a reporter from Buffalo, where the Bills' new stadium is being partially funded with public money from the state of New York and Erie County, New York. Both are laying out considerably more cash than we were asked for. Welcome to you all. And Steve, I'm going to start with you. The split vote, it was a split vote last night, 7-3, on spending $650 million. The mayor only votes to break a tie. She didn't vote, but she has said in the past that she's very much in favor of this. And yet there were these three no votes. How concerned should we be that three people said no? Shouldn't it have been unanimous?
I think that was one of the interesting things about last night. I mean, going into the vote, that it was very clear there were at least six. This was not going to be brought forward unless it was going to pass. If you go back to 2013, when they did $75 million in renovations, that was a unanimous vote. I think that the three no votes and the listening to the conversation, there is some frustration with that group on council at, I think this was a little bit more than just this deal. There was some frustration about how the city is run, that they feel like they are kept in the dark, that the process isn't really transparent. So there was a little bit more going on, I think. But again, very clearly, you know, and then I'll back up a second. I think because everyone knew there were six votes, it kind of emboldened the minority to be a little more aggressive, because you know it's going to pass. Your no vote will not be particularly consequential. But having said that, it was the whole discussion was kind of not the quote Charlotte way. Right. It was very aggressive at times, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. A lot of colorful stuff said.
You and I talked about this on Friday during the news roundup, the fact that some on council feel that there was not a lot of transparency here and they had difficulty in getting some information. From whom? The city or Tepper Sports and Entertainment?
I think that's the city. You know, it's not really.
Why would the city be hiding things, or apparently allegedly hiding things, from council?
You know, hiding may be too strong of a word. I think massaging the narrative and redirecting council is what goes on. This is just kind of business as usual. City staff wants to move forward with whatever they want to do. Council is often an impediment, or just someone, you know, a group of people to be managed. So there's not a lot of, I mean, it is kind of constant spin and redirection to lead council to the outcome that city staff feels best. This happens a lot, but in this case, because you're talking about $650 million and everyone paying attention, people could kind of see the process work out, and it was interesting to watch.
Joe.
There were two documents that council members in the minority, and some of the majority too, really wanted to see but weren't able to keep. And those were the term sheet, which is a living, breathing legal document. So they were being very protective around that because certain things are still being negotiated and finalized. So they would only show that to council members in a secure room and not allow them to take the document with them and, review it and where it potentially could leak. And the other is the economic impact report, which was produced by the Panthers. And that is why the city had trouble producing that for council members.
So the city is building SCIFs for city council members to enter into to look at documents. Mary, Dimple Ejmera, Tiawana Brown, Renee Johnson, all three on council voted no. Victoria Watlington was notably absent, did not vote. Why?
Yes, so I have not spoken with Councilmember Watlington, so I cannot speak to the cause of her absence. I will say those no votes didn't necessarily come as a huge surprise to me. Councilmember Ejmera, I think, for having been at a lot of the meetings leading up to this vote, definitely seemed to me to be one of the more skeptical members, raising a lot of questions about the value of the deal, questions about what Joe was just speaking to, a perceived lack of transparency when it came to the term sheet, to the economic impact study, bringing up some of David Tepper's past issues, pulling out of the Eastland Yards deal, pulling out of the Rock Hill deal. Councilmember Renee Johnson, she has kind of shown herself to be the lone council member willing to beat the drum a bit on trying to push back on the tourism industry and use these hospitality tax dollars for other things, something which has drawn swift condemnation from the hospitality industry in the past. So, no votes there that necessarily didn't take me by surprise.
But when you have a $650 million request that city council was always likely to say yes to, if you don't show up for the vote, unless you have some sort of a medical or family emergency, what does that say? And will we ever know why she didn't?
I imagine it's something that me and Joe and Steve will certainly be asking about and follow up on if there's anything there. But yeah, as I mentioned, I have not spoken with the council member yet, so I can't speak to her or the reason for her absence.
So Republican Councilman Ed Driggs, one of the seven yes votes, called the stadium an economic generator and that we, taxpayers, should be grateful.
That we have the opportunity to get two sports franchises and everything else that comes with this based on an investment that will not exceed the 650.
Why Democrat Malcolm Graham, who chairs the City Council's Economic Development Committee, also praised the decision.
The $650 million investment in Bank of America Stadium is a forward-thinking initiative that aligns with Charlotte's vision for the future. It supports economic growth, tourism, community enrichment, social equity, making a worthy investment that will yield returns for our city and our residents.
But as we have alluded to, Dimple Ejmera was one of the three no votes.
I just cannot do it. My conscience simply will not let me.
Steve, why? What was it about this deal that she objected to?
She felt, Joe had talked earlier about the term sheet, wanting to be able to study it more. She felt like the process was rushed. There needed to be more time for to consider this. I think one interesting thing about last night, kind of, I think the next mayor's race began. We don't know if Vi Lyles will run for re-election, next year or 20, will serve until 2025 or 2027. But I think Dimple Ejmera's vote was kind of a flag in the ground, planting a flag of a little bit of populism, opposition for the people. And yes, I think the race now is on to, people are trying to distinguish themselves.
So, Mary, $650 million from us, $150 million from Tepper Sports and Entertainment, total of $800 million. Remind us of the terms of this deal.
Yes. So the idea is that this money will go towards a variety of improvements at the stadium, things like a new scoreboard, new seats in the lower bowl, renovating the south lawn outside the stadium to be more of a community event space. things like that. The deal has been promoted as having a 20-year non-relocation agreement for both the Panthers and Charlotte FC. However, if you read it more closely, it's more like a 15-year deal. And if Tepper Sports were to move one of the teams or both within those last 5 years of the 20-year agreement, they would have to pay back any outstanding debt to the city. And then, of course, also a little wrinkle discovered on Friday that there's also a condition in there that we'll start talking in just a few years about the possibility of a whole new stadium here in Charlotte.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that in a moment or two. The team, Joe, does promise to stay for at least 15 years. They promoted this 20, but as Mary pointed out, there's a little sidebar issue in that contract. They're going to spend $500,000 a year for city-owned improvements at the stadium, while the city will pay Tepper Sports up to $1 million a year to help with traffic management for games and events at the stadium. How unusual is that? If a business has an event, don't they usually have to compensate the city for police and fire and emergency services?
I don't think it's unusual. I think the city actually is contributing a certain amount of money right now for traffic management. This is just an increase in that. This is an underreported part of this deal. And Bank of America Stadium is not the easiest stadium to, you know, get out of when, you know, you got tens of thousands of people leaving at the same time with no designated area for parking and everyone's scattered, especially if you're trying to pick up a ride share. But I do think the traffic management portion of this piece is, you know, needs some more digging into to see exactly how the public will benefit.
So that $1 million a year, which if they stay for 20 years, amounts to $20 million. That's in addition to the $650 million we're kicking in?
Yes.
Okay. Were there any, Steve, any big changes to this? And or was this deal a fait accompli the day it was presented to council? Had the negotiations already taken place, in other words?
I think the negotiations had taken place. There were no real changes to the terms I think they'd agreed on in closed session. Like Mary said, there were a few interesting things that did kind of trickle out once we got a little more information, one of them being this idea to start talking about a new stadium in 13 years. But there was no, at least as far as I can tell, you guys jump in if I'm wrong, but moments where council said, let's do this, and city staff said, oh yeah, we were able to do that. We changed these terms. I don't think that happened.
Mary, are we being held hostage here a little bit? I mean, if they agree to stay for 20 years with a 5-year out clause, should they decide to move one or both of the teams, that would be 15 years. 2 years before that, they want to start talking about our helping to finance building of a new stadium. If we say no to that, will they be gone in 2 years after that, in 15 years?
That remains to be seen. That being said, you know, this is a pretty common strategy for professional sports teams to get public money to keep their stadiums or to get new stadiums. You know, this is a trend in recent decades, I think going back to around the 1980s. This got started, the idea that, you know, almost a, you know, not necessarily in a malicious way, but a quid pro quo of, you know, we will agree to stay in your city if you help us upkeep our stadium or build a new stadium. And, you know, there are city governments around this country that have decided not to play that game and they have lost their teams. Hmm. And that's something that Charlotte has gone through before, losing a professional sport team, and did not want to go through again.
Joe, I have about 30 seconds. I know you want to chime in on this. Go ahead.
Just, I do think, you know, it's not just an easy task to move a team, even with that 15-year clause, because it's still going to cost hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to move the teams. Plus you will have to pay the outstanding debt for the stadium. So I don't think it's a likely scenario that he would leave after 15 years. He could leave right now for free because there is no tether in place. Mm.
The question is, would he pay that debt? Because there are other concerns about deals made and deals broken with Tepper Sports and Entertainment, which we'll talk about when we come back. And we'll also look at the impact of this decision long and short term and who benefits from it when we come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about yesterday's city council vote, last night's vote, 7-3 in favor of funding Tepper Sports and Entertainment's request for $650 million to modernize Bank of America Stadium. Steve Harrison is with us. He's WFAE's political reporter, Mary Ramsey, local government accountability reporter for the Charlotte Observer, Joe Bruno, a reporter for WSOC-TV. And in a moment, we'll hear from a reporter in Buffalo, because they're building a new stadium there with public dollars, many public dollars, more public dollars than we're spending on our refurbishment. Tepper Sports, Joe, has backed out of deals before, most notably their agreement to build their headquarters and practice fields for the Panthers in York County, South Carolina. They pulled out of that deal after construction had already begun, both on that facility and the interstate interchange that the state of South Carolina was putting in place to handle the traffic. They kind of backed away from their stated intention of building a practice facility and headquarters for Charlotte FC at Eastland Yards. That's all given people some reservations about commitment. How did council get beyond those reservations with this decision?
A couple things. They like the way that it is framed deal where they are paying the contractors directly. They also have a system of checks and balances in place to make sure that this deal is going to be followed through. Councilman Malcolm Graham said about five times last night, trust but verify. The other thing to keep in mind is with the Rock Hill and Eastland deals, there were other things going on that played into those deals not happening. There was dispute over finances in Rock Hill. With Eastland, the timeline just did not match up. You know, there isn't anything at Eastland still right now. So there's a construction, but the project hasn't launched yet, whereas Charlotte FC has had a headquarters now in Southeast Charlotte for more than a year. So those are some things to keep in mind with why those deals exactly did not come through, and council members want to make sure with this one that the attorney and the manager really locked them down so they have the ability to verify everything's on track.
So, Mary, our stadium was not built for NFL football originally, and it's nearly 30 years old. Where does that put us among the ages of various stadia around the league, and how does that really affect Charlotte and the team? In other words, had we done nothing, would it have affected attendance? Would it have affected enthusiasm? And most importantly, would it have affected the team's ability to win a game or two?
Well, that's the argument from Tepper Sports and from those in the city that supported this deal, that the stadium was getting outdated, that these things were needed to both improve fan experience and also make Charlotte competitive for major events. You know, the question of are we ever going to get to host a Super Bowl has come up quite a bit during these discussions. We've had folks saying, you know, this could really put us in line to get it at least once. That being said, that as I talked about on Friday, this deal does not include adding any sort of covering to the stadium, a dome or retractable roof. That's something that's pretty common for stadiums that are getting events like the Super Bowl on the regular.
Go ahead. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, go ahead. Finish your thought. Sorry.
No, yeah. And so, you know, it kind of remains to be seen whether or not we will see this big uptick in events, but that sort of definitely was a selling point for Tepper Sports, that this was necessary to improve the fan experience and to land big events.
So, Joe, we've done it. We've said yes. What are they saying the impact of these improvements will be, aside from enhancing an attendee's experience?
Well, one major impact will be we'll get 7 rent-free days to use at the stadium. So that means we'll have at least 2 more premier events put on by people other than Tepper Sports Entertainment. You know, things like bowl games, things like WrestleMania, other sorts of events like that that could possibly come as a result of the stadium project going through. They also talked about, you know, apprentice programs for people to learn from the construction taking place, more community events at the stadium. And all this will take some time, though, because we're not looking at until 2029 until it's all finished.
Steve, in addition to concerns over transparency by members of council, many of them said, well, I don't know whether that's an accurate statement. Some of them said that they felt rushed, pushed into making this decision. If that holds water, why the rush?
The city said that we needed to get the deal done now. The council is going to go on a break. We needed to get the deal done because we're going to go on break. Tupper Sports wants to get started. Any delay will make construction costs go up, et cetera, et cetera. They want to get moving. So I think there's some truth in that. I mean, things do get more expensive. But there was probably, I think it's safe to say that the idea of putting the vote in June right before the summer break was perhaps intentional, because it put a firm deadline in front of city council where they could not defer to talk about it some more. The city staff was telling them, like, we got to do this now. And so I think that was the timeline was a bit intentional to force a vote very quickly.
And this money will come from the city's convention center fund, which is raised through the 1% tax on food and beverages at bars and restaurants and on hotel motel bills. That means this will not raise Charlottean's taxes. And it is an expenditure for which money was intended, and one that we knew was coming. So we thought it was going to be $600 million. But what is that deficit? What is that taking $650 million out of that fund mean to our ability to fund other things that have already come up or may come up in the future, Steve?
So the city has been very clear that Eastland, you know, the city is going to put public money in Eastland, that Eastland is still a go. This does not impact that project. The one project that you used to hear a lot about a couple years ago is Discovery Place. They want to do a multi-million dollar renovation. I have not heard about Discovery Place much at all. I'm not saying that they still can't do it, but Discovery Place was on the front burner pretty recently. Mm-hmm. It's vanished. May come back, but I have not heard about it.
Prior to last week's public hearing on this, Councilmember Republican Tariq Bakari said, quote, "Nearly every professional stadium deal with taxpayer money that I've ever seen is a bad deal for taxpayers, but that doesn't mean it's impossible to make a good deal." And this was his reaction to last night's 7-3 yes vote on council. And reminder, he voted yes.
"We're going to see an explosion of economic impact over the next two decades in Uptown."
Mary, does that mean he believes this is one of those rare good deals?
That's what he said. Yeah, he said that he thinks that the city has been able to put together a good deal here that will have a positive economic impact. He brought up the idea again that this would put us in line for more major events, including the 2040 Olympics. I think that would certainly be a big surprise. But, you know, that was something that he floated as being a possibility after this. So that, yeah, definitely someone who, again, reiterated the same thing that you just said last night, that he, you know, was generally speaking not a fan of these kind of deals, but that he feels like this is a good setup and a win-win for both the team and the city.
So, Steve, some believe that losing a major league franchise, particularly an NFL franchise, would be simply unthinkable and would reflect badly on the city. But as Mary alluded to a few minutes ago, we have lost a major league team in the past. The Hornets left only to return several years later. And the city, to be honest, didn't seem to suffer all that much in their absence. Would it be different if we lost an NFL team?
I think it would, because the NFL is much, much more popular and important to Charlotte and any American city than professional basketball is. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we've talked a lot about like the deal and economic impact, et cetera. At the end of the day, this deal was really about, do we want the Panthers or not? And city council decided we did. I think the majority of Charlotte does not want to lose the Panthers. I mean, I've said this before on the show, but if we did a survey, you know, a lot of people were against the deal. They hate the idea of spending money on the stadium. But if the team left, and people would be really upset, they would be critical of city council for letting them go. So yeah, I just think NFL is a completely different animal than any other professional sports league.
Well, even prior to last night's yes vote on city council, the city staff had negotiated this deal with Tupper Sports. And in that deal, by the spring of 2037, we're supposed to begin negotiations with them on a new stadium and on how to pay for a new stadium that would open in time for the 2046 NFL season. That to me says this is a foregone conclusion that we are going to build a new stadium. Yes or no?
Yes. I mean, it'll be more than 50 years old, and you know, you got to commit to basically Bank of America Stadium going down the Fenway Park route or Lambeau Field route, or you know, what is Charlotte going to look like in 2040?
So $800 million, $650 million from Charlotte is going into refurbishing a stadium that in 13 years we will say yes to a brand new building. Has anyone questioned investing $800 million in a 30-year-old building only to be asked 13 years later to start from scratch? Wouldn't it be, as somebody mentioned just a second ago, construction costs are only going to get more expensive. Wouldn't it have been smarter to say, okay, let's start now on that new building? Joe?
I mean, it goes both ways, too. I mean, you know, you spend $3 billion this year building a new stadium, then, what, 20 years from now, you're going to have to spend another billion to renovate it? I don't know. Right now, they have the prime location. They have a building that's functional, that, you know, is in that people, you know, think highly enough that some are saying you shouldn't even upgrade it. They thought that they could get another 20 years out of this building, and that's what they're going with.
Well, the Buffalo Bills are in the process of building a new stadium. They broke ground about a year ago. $850 million is coming from the state of New York, along with local funding from Erie County, New York. It will be the largest taxpayer contribution ever for a National Football League facility, and we wanted to get some insight into that deal and how it was received by New York State, by Erie County, and the city of Buffalo, and the taxpayers therein. Joining us now is John Scott. He's sports director at WGRZ-TV, the NBC affiliate in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Fascinating to hear all of you guys go through conversations that I've been hearing for the past 3-4+ years here in Buffalo.
What? There are similarities?
100%.
How old is the Bills' current stadium?
1973. So when you mention things of would we go down the Lambeau Field route, the Arrowhead Stadium route, that kind of was the conversation. And I'll be honest with you, the current Highmark Stadium is not an iconic entity like Lambeau Field or Arrowhead Stadium, and even Soldier Field, which in Chicago they're considering moving on from a recently renovated Soldier Field to a brand new stadium. They're considering what to do after a recently renovated Arrowhead Stadium. So this is the constant conversation in the National Football League, and it kind of is who's next in line, and Buffalo was next in line, and it appears Charlotte is at this point now.
There have been, as you've been listening, have been concerns expressed by our city council over transparency revolving around this deal made by Tepper Sports. They were told by city staff that they could not have a copy of the deal unless they came to a specific location to see it, and then they couldn't take it out of the room. I understand that there was a similar lack of transparency surrounding part of this deal in Buffalo, specifically about the current conditions at Highmark Stadium. And there was a study, I think, that took place in 2022, which identified problems with the upper deck and water and electrical systems. And team owners said the building was in need of replacement. Then an organization called Investigative Post sued to see the engineering report. It was given that what they described as a heavily redacted copy of the report, 170 of its 182 pages were blacked out. And the county claimed that releasing the report in full, quote, would endanger or could endanger the life or safety of any person who enters the stadium. What? What does that mean?
There was a lot of interesting who has the upper hand, who's going to give out information publicly, who should believes that it should be made public. I'll just say this. Highmark Stadium needs to be gone, put to pasture, and a new one needs to be built. I don't need to go through the engineering report or things like that. If you're not in favor of the Bills building a new stadium, it's simply because you don't want to pay for it. But from a functionality standpoint, as an NFL stadium, whether that's players and operations and things like that, incredibly outdated. And even the fan experience, you talk to enough fans, yeah, they don't want to necessarily see their taxes go up, but they will tell you, you could definitely see and feel that it's a 50-plus-year-old stadium.
At the groundbreaking ceremony for your new stadium, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said, quote, "This is one of the highlights of my time as your governor to make sure we delivered what I said we would do. We're keeping the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo for at least another generation, and we're giving them a magnificent home to call their own." First, would the Bills have left Buffalo had New York State and Erie County not given them $850 million?
I'll just throw this caveat in. Kathy Hochul is from Buffalo. She is from where I am currently sitting in my house. So she is from Hamburg, New York, a Buffalo native. So when she says it's the greatest moment of her career as governor, you understand there's a personal element in that comment as well. Would the Bills move? I think they would have. It's a conversation that I also have perspective of growing up in Cleveland, a incredible fan base who lost their football team in the 90s over a stadium dispute and who would pay for that stadium. And Art Modell, he called the bluff and took the Browns, and moved them to Baltimore. It was unthinkable and unimaginable that a team so supported like the Cleveland Browns were in the 90s could leave. But that's what these stadium discussions ultimately can lead to, because it's all about going to where the money is. And that's what the NFL always does. Do I believe in my heart of hearts that Terry Pegula would want to move the Buffalo Bills? No, but he's a businessman. That's how these owners made so much money. And if he could not get the best ideal business plan laid out to him and the best deal, then yes, that is always the number one strong arm position that owners take of these NFL teams, is that if you don't give us what we want, we're just going to go to someone who will.
And they, as I understand it, there were suitors for the Buffalo Bills. I believe one was Toronto. Is that correct?
So the owner of the Buffalo Bills passed away in 2014. They were put up for sale by the Wilson family. And some of the people in the running were Donald Trump. He was one of the parties, as well as a group through the Toronto area led by Jon Bon Jovi. And then Terry Pegula, who also owns the Buffalo Sabres, came up to the plate and paid $1.3 billion for the organization in 2014.
And Governor Hochul said in that little address at the groundbreaking, we're giving them a magnificent home to call their own. An NFL franchise is a license to print money, and the owners are all billionaires who could easily afford this kind of expense on their own. Was it simply unthinkable? Are the Buffalo Bills sacrosanct? And I have 15 minutes, so they had to say yes.
Yeah, they had to say yes.
Okay, I had 15 seconds, not 15 minutes. We're going to come back in just a moment with more. We're talking to John Scott. He's sports director of WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, where they're building a new NFL stadium. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the City Council's decision last night on a 7-3 vote to say yes to a Tepper Sports request for $650 million to refurbish Bank of America Stadium. We're here with Steve Harrison from WFAE News, Mary Ramsey from the Charlotte Observer, and Joe Bruno from WSOC-TV. But right now we're talking to John Scott, sports director at WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, where they are building, to the tune of $850 million of public funding, a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills. How would you, John, have characterized the reaction to whomever made that decision in New York to fund the stadium with taxpayer dollars to that amount?
The public wasn't pleased, but they accepted it out of the fear we talked about before the break of, hey, this is what you have to do if you want to be in the NFL business. You're going to have to pony up money and public funding, and it's New York State, so at least that helps. It's not just Erie County here.
Why is New York State involved in this? You've already got two football teams in New York City. You've got the Buffalo Bills. Why do they feel the need to pony up that kind of money?
Well, I don't know the economics for the Jets and Giants, but they are technically in the state of New Jersey. And so I don't know if that plays, I'm serious. I don't know if that pays, plays a role in any terms of that while they are New York teams. Right. But the state of New York will own the Bills Stadium moving forward, unlike the previous stadium where the county here, Erie County, was the owners of okay. the current Highmark Stadium. So the state of New York will own the new Highmark Stadium. So they're paying more for it.
And we will not own the stadium. The city of Charlotte owns the land on which the stadium sits, but Tepper Sports and Entertainment owns the building. Of the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being spent in New York, the state is financing $600 million. Erie County is putting up $250 million, with the remaining $200 million financed through a loan, I guess, to the team. Or who's the loan to? It's from the NFL. Who's the loan to?
It's to the NFL, and the Panthers and every other organization in the NFL that builds a new stadium does get some funding funneled to them through the league.
So $350 million is also being put up by the team owners in Buffalo. The total cost adds up to about $1.54 billion.
As of right now. It originally was 1.4, and Terry Pegula, the Pegula family, the Bills owners, they are on the hook for all overages. So okay. we're a year into a project that's scheduled to be finished in 2026, and we're already adding on top of the 1.4. So anyone who even just does renovations of their house, you're doing your kitchen, you're doing your basement, the overhead charges are going to continue to pile up as this project moves along here. What the final tab will ultimately be, it may end up being even at the end of the day.
And where's that money coming from in the state of New York? Obviously, it's taxpayer money, but is there a dedicated fund for this? Is it coming? Is it going to cause taxes to go up? What's the story there?
My understanding is, taxes are going up. I don't know the specific funds, like you guys were referencing tourism or things like that. I don't know the specific funds that it's being funneled from and into the stadium, but it is causing a boost in taxes across the board.
So of Joe Bruno, Mary Ramsey, and Steve Harrison, I don't know which of you to ask this question of, but I'm going to ask it and you can just chime in. A 2021 study by Empire State Development, that's a group promoting business development in New York, estimated that the Bills generate about $27 million a year in fiscal revenues, including about $19 million from personal income taxes. In fact, experts say stadiums typically generate little new economic activity, about as much as a Target store. Has anyone done a similar calculation here? Who would like to?
So the economic impact study commissioned by Tepper Sports and permitted by the city during these discussions has said that the team had a $1.1 billion economic impact in Charlotte in 2023 and generated about $54.3 million in taxes. That being said, I have spoken to a local economist here, Fred Smith of Davidson College, who told me, similar to what you just said, these economic impact studies are often inflated because they don't take into account the fact that people living in Charlotte, like you or me, have a set amount of disposable income in their personal budgets. And if we didn't spend it on going to a Panthers game or a concert, we would spend it on other things in the local economy. So there is that conflict there. That being said, you know, there is also the intangibles, you know, the thing we've been talking about a lot on the show, the idea that it would be difficult for the city to deal with losing an NFL team. And so you sort of have to balance the cost of that intangible with whether there is any real tangible economic benefit.
So, John, ESPN reports that some New York State legislators were not convinced that a new Bills Stadium would have a net positive economic impact, pointing to a lack of evidence of it creating any long-term jobs. I don't know where your stadium is located with regard to your downtown area or the most populated area or the most important area of Buffalo, whatever that may be. Ours is just on the outskirts of our central business district. Our business leaders say the teams and concerts that use that building are a tourism generator. Are the Bills and their current building in a situation like that? And will that change when they move?
They are not now and they will not be. The biggest talking point amongst fans and people here in town is where the new stadium should be. Currently, it's in Orchard Park, which is about a 15-20 minute drive outside of downtown. And it's kind of a suburb. If anyone's ever been to Lambeau Field, there's little neighborhoods all around the stadium. It's a cool feel if you're going there, but in terms of where can I go that's not the stadium, it's slim pickings. And that's why there was this drive, with me included, push it downtown, try to get more things around the stadium and make it a dome, understanding our climate that we are in as well, and make it a year-round concert and event center. And that's what my belief was, but the cost was twice. And between boosting up potential asking price for taxpayer money and what the Pagulas were willing to fund, they went with the cheapest option, which was literally building it across the street from the current stadium.
Well, even here in the sunny and relatively warm Carolinas, when you compare it to the climate in Buffalo in January, even here there was consternation over why we're not adding a dome or at least some covering over the seating areas in this new upgrade. The current Bills Stadium is open air. The new one will also not be completely covered. I think a canopy will cover about 65% of the 63,000 plus seats. And that shocked me because I happen to know, as a faraway person from Buffalo, it's cold there and it snows a lot there. How much of an issue was that, and why is it? Was it just the money of building a dome?
Just the money. Just the money here. They literally went with the cheapest option. And that, again, open air across the street in Orchard Park, New York. If you put a dome on it, you put a retractable, you moved it to downtown, the price went significantly up. This canopy that they are building is replicated from Tottenham Stadium over in Europe. And it's meant to not only cover 60%+ of the fan base, but through this technology, the wind coming off of Lake Erie, which is only miles away from the stadium, that's really where things can get troublesome. And the technology they're using is supposed to really minimize the wind as well. But you talk about hosting events year long and potentially a Super Bowl. Every single NFL stadium that ever builds a new stadium, regardless of the location, if it is domed, they will get a Super Bowl. Minneapolis got a Super Bowl. Detroit got a Super Bowl. The outlier was MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Bills will not get a Super Bowl. Now, maybe the city itself could not handle that, but if you put a dome on that stadium, you're in the conversation. I don't think Charlotte down the line would have to put a dome on to be in a Super Bowl conversation, but it certainly would then thrust them to the top of the list if that's the path they went.
Because we are very unlikely to get 8 feet of snow the night before the game. So, finally, I understand that the agreement between the Buffalo Bills and Erie County and the state of New York is not ironclad. Early last year, it was reported that there's a real danger that the team could relocate upon the death of Terry Pegula because of inheritance laws. He's 73. The lease for the stadium is 30 years. He will not see the end of it, probably. In fact, Investigative Post says the team could have an easier time abandoning their new stadium for another city than any of the other teams playing in subsidized stadiums built for NFL franchises in recent years. Has that changed since the deal went through? Did it give legislators, county commissioners, taxpayers pause?
No, I don't think there's anyone fearful. I will say this, a recent development in what I'll say is the Pegula family hierarchy is Terry's wife, Kim, has been side by side. She suffered an incredible cardiac event over a year ago that has since led to some proceedings down in Florida where they're residents that he has basically taken over operating for her and things like that because she's incapacitated. And so the thought was she is significantly younger than Terry. She would be the next in line to take over the Bills whenever Terry was too old and had to take a backseat or happened to pass away. Because Kim is now incapacitated, it has since now been passed along to Laura Pegula, the oldest daughter from Terry's first marriage. So not with his current wife, Kim. And the NFL makes you do this with all ownership to have a succession plan should something happen, so things don't get muddled. So as of right now, in the past year, Laura Pegula, his oldest daughter from a previous marriage, is currently in line to be the next person in the Pegula family to run the Buffalo Bills should anything happen to him. So the Ducks are getting in a row, understanding you're right. Terry is 73. Ralph Wilson, their previous owner, he passed away in his early 90s.
Wow. John Scott is sports director at WGRZ-TV, the NBC affiliate in Buffalo. Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Joe Bruno is here from Channel 9, WSSC-TV, Mary Ramsey from the Charlotte Observer, Steve Harrison from WFAE News. And Joe, last week during the news roundup, you and I spoke about the city fielding an online survey in advance of the public hearing that they held, in which the majority of the respondents at the hearing were in favor. Those online were not. For those who opposed this, was there a major reason as to why, or did opposition stem from a plethora of reasons?
I'd say it was a plethora of reasons. I think mainly they boil down to just the principle of giving money to somebody who is worth so much and just the pure opposition to that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, Steve, one person who spoke at I think last night's meeting before the vote said that even with this infusion of cash, that the stadium is not a public community asset. It is a private asset of Tepper Sports and Entertainment. They own it. They can do with it what they see fit. Others were offended that we were giving so much money to an individual who is worth in excess of $20 billion. Is this ultimately going to be a hot potato for council members who voted yes?
I don't think so. I think that people tend to forget in the city. I think we will move on. The next election will be in November 2025, or I guess September 2025 when the primary is. That's really what matters. I think people will move on. I'd kind of said earlier that there was an opposition to it. I think you can campaign on that and say, hey, I was out here for the people, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't see, I mean, it would have been much more blowback had they not done the deal and the team left. If the team leaves, people would have to answer for that.
Well, and I know one of you already mentioned, I think Joe mentioned that we had this problem with the Hornets years ago, but the Hornets aren't the NFL or the NBA, and it's a very different ball of wax. But we put the vote, we put it to a referendum. And voters said, no, we're not building a new arena for basketball, which caused George Shinn to take the team to New Orleans. Is this something similar? Although we didn't put it to a vote, had we, what would that vote have been, do you think? Joe?
I don't know, because I don't know what the ballot language would have looked like. There would have been a massive campaign by the Panthers to garner support. And, we can't get a vote on transit. There's no way we would ever be able to get a vote on the Panthers stadium here. I don't think that there will be any political repercussions to this. There weren't any for the RNC vote. Panthers string together 10, 11 wins next year, then nobody's going to be talking about this. And it won't be helpful to run against the stadium when the Panthers start putting together winning seasons again.
Okay. Malcolm Graham, we've been talking a little bit about domes, and Malcolm Graham, City Council's chair of the Economic Development Committee, said that the lack of a dome in this refurbishment of the stadium was not a big deal. He said, quote, we have to be comfortable with who we are, and he's confident we will be able to lure events without a dome. That seems out of character, Steve, for Charlotte to be satisfied with something that isn't best, the best. Why this attitude toward the stadium?
Well, I think that's the attitude because that's the deal. So you're going to spend the current deal in the best way possible. I mean, I think there are a lot of benefits to not having a dome. You know, when you go to a game in October, November, most of December, it's pretty nice to sit outside. I mean, it is hot in the first two or three weeks of the season, but we have great weather here in the fall. Sitting inside on a Sunday afternoon can be a bit of a drag, but that's the deal they have. So they are going to spin it in the best possible way. We will get more events. I think the big question is, can we get a Super Bowl or the College Football National Championship? Because it could be 35 degrees and raining. But spin it. It's the deal you have.
So, Mary, I have 30 seconds. Now that the money has been okayed, what happens next? When does work begin? When will it be done?
Now we head into the design process. That's estimated to take about a year, and the goal is to have everything done by 2029.
Okie dokie. Mary Ramsey is local government accountability reporter for the Charlotte Observer. I should have asked you about the political ramifications of all of this. Joe Bruno is a reporter for WSSC-TV, Channel 9, host of their Political Beat program on Sunday mornings. And Steve Harrison is our political reporter here at WFAE. And our thanks to John Scott, sports director in Buffalo, New York, of WGRZ, where they're building an expensive new stadium. Thank you all for the hour.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.